Hey there, welcome to What's the Truth? My name is Jessica Hoddle and I am your host. Happy New Year. Can you believe that it's 2022? I took a few weeks off in December and I am pumped and ready to start the new year with season two, all about overcoming. I thought it was the perfect time to start this season because I know for the last 2 years, many of you have been just overcoming a lot, overcoming anxiety, overcoming depression, overcoming worry. Maybe you found yourself grieving from what was to what is, and you just have really big emotions, and maybe you're trying to sort through them and figure out what you're supposed to do with them and how you are supposed to bring them to God. And maybe you feel distant from God. No matter what you feel, I just want to know that you're welcome here. This is really a place where I take God and our feelings and I bring them together and bridge the gap, because God gets the final say of your life, not your feelings. But that doesn't mean that you have to neglect, run, or hide from your feelings, because in the end, when we do that, we end up running from God because we think we're not good enough. So today's episode is all about overcoming anxiety with Brittany Moses. And before we even get started, I'm really pumped because one, it's the new year, but two, my new book released in November. The title is Face Off with Your Feelings. And I really wanted to make it a point to bridge the gap, like I just said, for you to be able to bring your feelings before God and know that you do not have to hide from Him, that you don't have to choose between God or your feelings. And I really walk you through clinical steps, biblical, all throughout the book, and really make it practical. Now, with that being said, and just honoring the release of my new book, honoring this new season, I'm going to be giving away a signed copy of my book and a pack of stickers, which I'm biased, I know, but my favorite, to one of you, to a listener. And for you to enter, all you have to do is sign up at the link below and get my free guide, Chase God, Not Your Feelings. It's really a guide on how to live by faith and not by what you feel. And it's kind of an intro into what this book, what my new book is about. So again, all you have to do to enter this giveaway is sign up and get your free guide. I will be emailing you if you are the one that's won the copy. If you want to enter twice, you can always share this podcast on Instagram and tag me. But the main one is to sign up, get your free guide, and I'll be choosing a winner every single week to send a book to through this season. Now I think it's time to talk a little bit about this episode, right? Let's get to the episode. Today we're going to be talking about overcoming anxiety, and we have a special guest, Brittany. She's a mental health advocate encouraging the integration of faith, culture, and wellness. A mom, a Los Angeles native, Brittany walks the walk, holding really to a faith-informed approach to mental health. And you guys know that that is something I'm super passionate about. She served in many churches over the last 10 years, and she's really began to form, and she's a founder of a youth nonprofit ministry. She's a group facilitator and crisis text line counselor. Therefore, she's a perfect person to walk us through how to overcome anxiety. We start at the root and we begin to build up from there. You're going to love this interview. And one, I just cannot wait to hear your feedback. But two, this season of overcoming is just going to get better. So make sure you hit the follow button, sign up below, get your free guide, and get the opportunity to win a free book. All right, let's go ahead and get to the interview. Brittany, today, I'm really pumped about this conversation. We know we hashed out a little bit before, but we're really going to be talking about overcoming anxiety and really kind of unpacking, not just here's some practical tips, but helping people, especially women, because I know that that's who is listening, to understand what's happening in my body, why is this happening, and then give us some application. So why don't you kind of just take us to the root? Why does somebody start to feel anxious at all? Like, what is the root cause so that we can kind of understand this foundational piece?
Oh my gosh. Yes, I love it. We're diving right in here. I think I'll just start off by saying, like, severe anxiety is something that I really struggled with to the point that I did seek therapy for it, and had to have treatment for it. This was when I was a newly single mom, basically homeless, trying to figure out where my life was going to go, staying with friends. Just my life was in a very ambiguous place where I felt out of control, looking back. And so I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I lost dramatic amounts of weight. I was always on edge. I felt this constant feeling of dread as if it was only so long before something was going to go wrong, because so many things had gone wrong in my life. So I just want to start off by saying, like, when it comes to anxiety, I have lived it, and it is the number one mental health condition in the world. So it's very common. And, you know, there are many reasons for that. There are many moving parts. But when it comes to the root of anxiety, I think I should definitely start off by saying that it is going to be different reasons and causes for every individual. This is why something like therapy, where you get a personalized assessment, someone who knows you, who knows your history, who knows your backstory, is going to be extremely helpful. So we'll just kind of be broad stroking here a bit as far as some common roots, but definitely it will be helpful to have that professional guidance to really get to what is specific to you. But for a couple of reasons, right? In my case, I just felt generally out of control, right? You may be feeling anxiety because you've had very dramatic life changes, maybe unexpectedly. And so there's just kind of this fear of the unknown. And I think that is so reasonable, right? Especially when it comes to survival instinct. We want to feel secure. We want some sense of routine. You know, we want some sense of knowing what's going on with our surroundings. It's what helps us feel safe, our brain, our body, our nervous system. It gives us that safety. So feeling out of control, having unexpected changes, absolutely. Now, the first thing that I like to remind people when it comes to anxiety, sometimes it is cognitive. You know, sometimes it is in our head. There are these cycles that we get into our head, and something in cognitive behavioral therapy we talk about are thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. So first, it's kind of a cycle through those. First, you have the thought, something that triggers you to feel anxious, right? And now you're feeling anxious, you're feeling it in your body. And so now that's reinforcing, oh my gosh, I'm anxious about the fact that I'm anxious, right? That I'm having these feelings. Then you interpret the feelings. And then that may lead us into behaviors, into acting in ways that create more anxiety, right? And then it goes back to the thoughts and the feelings and behavior. So it can kind of be this cycle that we need to pause at some point and shift, whether we shift the thoughts part, like I'm going to change my thoughts, I'm going to, you know, think of two other ways to see this situation. Or maybe you shift the feelings part, right? The somatic part, your bodily part, whether it's deep breathing, taking space, something that's going to help put a break in that cycle. Or maybe you change your behaviors to do something that is going to be more relaxing, that's going to reduce anxiety. Maybe it's taking a shower or watching something that brings you relief, or reading or reciting scripture. So just keeping in mind, that tends to be the cycle, the thoughts, the feelings, and the behaviors. Mm-hmm. Something that I never want to bypass is the very physical feeling of anxiety, right? Sometimes that comes upon us like beyond our own will. You're just feeling it and you feel like you can't stop. And that is the activation of our nervous system, what we call fight or flight mode. So common symptoms of that is racing heart, right? Like beating heart, maybe sweaty hands, maybe it feels like your stomach is queasy, your pupils dilate. Essentially, your body is preparing to protect itself from danger or to flee because there is some sense that you are in harm. That could be physical harm. That could be psychological harm, emotional harm. Your body is designed to protect you. But in the case of anxiety, sometimes there aren't actual real Those things haven't actually happened. There's not actually something to fear in reality, but we are interpreting it that way. And so therefore our body activates. And it's something that takes place in the brain. There's a neuroscientist, American neuroscientist and researcher. His name is Joseph Ledeau, and he studied emotions in the brain. And he talked about something called an amygdala hijacking, which is basically the amygdala, these almond-shaped structures in the center of your brain, are responsible for the fear response, right? That's what activates. And then you have your frontal lobes, which is the part of your brain that is responsible for reasoning and decision-making and planning and sound judgment. But what takes place when we go into fight or flight mode, when we're triggered, is that your brain literally sends signals to your amygdala, the fear center of the brain, quicker than it goes to the frontal lobes, the thinking and planning center. So literally your brain is hijacked by the fear response in your brain, which literally leads to our frontal lobes kind of subsiding. I think we've experienced that, right? Where the fear or the anxiety takes over so much that we can't really reason in our mind, or we're feeling a little stuck. We can't see our way out of it. It's literally our brain being hijacked by the fear response. So something that I always tell people, and I know we're going to go into the practical side later, is to like take the pause, like slow down before you react, before you send that text or whatever you feel like you're going to do out of fear or think out of fear. Realize like my brain is hijacked right now by fear, like physically hijacked. So I need to slow down. I need to take a deep breath, which actually activates the rest and digest side of the nervous system, the part that helps us come back to a calm. And give yourself some time, because right now our perspective is out of fear, which is more than likely not accurate to the situation. So that's I hope I summarized that well when it comes to anxiety. There's kind of all these inner workings and all these different reasons why we are activated by it. Essentially, something triggers us that resembles something that could be harmful to us. And so our body goes into this mode to protect us. And so thank your body. It's just trying to protect you. Our body's not our enemy, but we just need to kind of reason ourselves back.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's so much there. I'm like, where do we start?
I know.
I feel as though the root really comes down to the thought almost, right? Or that experience, because that's where the trigger happens, to trigger the chemical on a cellular level to your emotion, to have your feeling, to then to have your reaction, right? And I think a lot of that, again, goes, it can go right to the fear, which can cause that emotion of anxiousness. And I don't know if I'm sure you've heard of this, but I know somebody very close to me who gets anxious because he's very future focused. And oh, yeah. Have you ever heard of the two, where it's like either past focus that causes you anxious or future focus where it causes anxiousness? Can you talk maybe a little bit about those and what I mean by those?
Oh yeah, that makes so much sense, right? The future is where you're always, you know, kind of feeling this dread of what could happen in the future, or just feeling anxious about the future in general, like what could happen, or maybe things aren't working out and where it could go. That's kind of what I had when I had my anxiety. I was kind of a newly single mom, trying to figure out where I was going to live. I didn't know what the future was going to look like. It was very ambiguous, and that created a lot of anxiety for me. So in that case, it's so good to just take things one step at a time, one day at a time. And I always say, like, that's where faith kicks in, right? Like God, Psalm says that God has seen every single day of your life before a single day had passed. That's what it says in Psalms. So God has already seen the future. He's already seen all the chapters of your life. And he cares for you and he loves you, and trust him with that future. That's where we just have to surrender that. You know, and then of course with the past, like, I think that is where the associations come in. You were mentioning how we just get triggered about things. Well, maybe we've had things in our past. Maybe we've had real traumas in our past. And so the brain is an associative brain. That is how it shapes your mental framework and your perspective about reality, is through your past experiences many times. And so your brain associates places, people, smells, events, words, reactions with similar things that have happened to us in the past that maybe led to our harm or were not good. And the body wants to protect us against that. Our mind wants to protect us against that. So when something similar comes up, even though it's not the same situation, you're still triggered because your brain is going, oh no, we've been here in the past and this didn't turn out good. we should feel is this is something that we should be protective about. And this is, and that makes you feel anxious. And that's a totally normal response. Like, I think the best example to give is if you, we have a lot of women here. So like, if you were in a past relationship where the guy was, you know, either harmful or abusive, or I don't know, maybe he betrayed trust. Maybe there was infidelity there or not responsive, or maybe like a sign of him, a sign of the, I don't know, leading to the relationship coming apart was that he stopped responding or he stopped being attentive. Now you get into this new relationship who is not this person, and they love you, but say one day they aren't responding to your texts and they're genuinely busy or what have you, but you're triggered. Like, oh my gosh, this person's not responding. What's going on? What's wrong with our relationship? I haven't heard from them. Are they with someone else? Like, you have all these anxieties because it's associated with a similar event that took place in your past, even though it's not the same. And that's where we have to tell ourselves, speak to ourselves, okay, this feels the same, but it is not the same. And I need to slow down and figure out what's going on here. But all in all, just saying, like, when it comes to the past, a lot of that is based off of associations that do tend to follow us into our future that we just have to be aware of and work through maybe a little bit more in some cases.
I love saying that our brains are like a Rolodex where yeah, you know, you have like the so memory good. And then you have like the description, maybe like how it's related to all your, yes, you yeah. know, your future, your current, and then your brain and body like pick out this card and it's like, well, okay, we're going to associate with this today. And then yeah. your body responds. And so it's like, a mental picture, if you know what a Rolodex is, but you know, we don't really have those anymore. Yeah. I would love for you to just even touch on how do we get to the awareness phase? I think most people can't even get to the awareness phase to pause. At least that's what I'm like, if we can just get to the awareness that something's not right, how would you recommend just somebody to even get to that phase of pause, breathe? Oh, something's not right. I'm starting to feel a little off kind of thing.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I will, in this case, speak from personal experience. Like, it was me just learning to pay attention to the messages that my body's sending me. Like, when I'm feeling that heart racing and sick to my stomach, which usually happens for me, or I'm not sleeping or what have you, you know, it's like, okay, clearly my body is associating some triggers here, you know, and it's activating. So for me personally, it's the moment that I start feeling the quickening of my heart and the upset stomach and the racing thoughts. That's really what happens. Those racing thoughts that are spiraling, that I go, okay, I need to pause. That's where I'll stop. I'll take some deep breaths. I will usually journal during that time, like journal through what I'm feeling. The great thing about like physically journaling as well is that it makes you slow down, like as you're writing out each word. And as we said, like your brain is being hijacked by the fear response, by this amygdala hijacking. So you're giving yourself time for that fear response and all that adrenaline and that fight or flight mode. You're giving it time to subside so that those frontal lobes, that reasoning and judgment center can kick back in. And so we can start processing things again. And that timing just depends really on how like activated we are. Sometimes it can feel like a while to really come back down, but at least giving yourself that time before taking action or assuming anything. So I was going to mention this in the practical steps, but I guess I can add this in here. And what's helped me is to do something called the ABCs. And I think that's super helpful. ABC. So A is the, you know, the activating event. So I will literally write down kind of a chart, like A, what was the activating event? What was the thing that triggered me? B, like what were the behaviors that followed? What were the things that I did right after that? You know, or maybe what were the automatic thoughts that followed? And then C is like consequences. So like, how do I want to now respond to this situation knowing this? It's kind of just taking back control of what's happening with yourself and the situation instead of letting it run you. So something like that for me in the beginning, now I just kind of do it automatically in my head, but in the beginning it was helpful for me to kind of journal and write out that process. Like, what was the activating event? What were my automatic thoughts? What were the behaviors that I did after that? And what are just two other ways that I want to see this situation or that I want to act in this situation. And that's where I think self-control really comes in. I think self-control comes in from paying attention from your emotions, not bypassing them. Because when you bypass those things, then they're ruling you. It's actually leaning in and paying attention to what's going on in your brain and body and saying, okay, I'm going to reframe and reclaim this situation. As I say to myself, healthy Brittany is going to respond to this, not old Brittany. That's my little prompt. Like, we're going to be healthy Brittany today. Yeah. We're going to respond to this in a healthy way. Not the way that we might have used to have responded, you know, because we get triggered. It comes up.
For sure. I am such a journaler and I'm a writer by nature kind of, but in the morning, I just, whatever comes out. And I tell a lot of people, I'm like, nobody's going to read this. Don't try to make an essay out of it, you know, just write. And then if I had an emotionally more kind of like in-depth day, I'll do it at night, which I keep right by my bed because I feel like I sleep better since it's out on paper. And I like to say that we are run by our emotions when we run away from them.
Yes.
And it was just like, we're on the same like path here. And so let's go ahead and get into some of those practical. I think that, again, awareness is going to be your first step of just saying like, you do have a spirit of self-control. This isn't something that has to run your life. This is something that you can put into submission with the word of God. It's not something that, I don't know how you feel about this, but I don't want to say I don't want to normalize anxiety, but I feel like it's common because when we normalize it, we don't challenge it. If that makes sense. Right. Are you tracking with me?
Oh, I have it and it's okay. It's like, I have it. It's common. What can we do about it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think sometimes if I start believe that, well, this is just, it's the way it's supposed to go, you know? And then we read scripture and then we're like, well, then I start to feel shame for how he says to not have an anxious mind, to not worry. And so how do I then go, oh, well, I'm not supposed to feel, but I do feel. So how do I bring those together? And I think that's kind of how we can just move right into some practical now of, I know you already kind of gave some throughout already, but maybe one or two more, if you have them in the back of your pocket to just really encourage some women out there of, you know, how can I practically make this in my everyday at work? If I'm in the car, I think those are the things that really matter the most.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying about scripture, because I think on the flip side, like God says, do not fear so many times throughout the Old Testament that I think that he's aware of, like, as humans, we fear, like as humans, we get anxiety. And he says it so many times, I think to reinforce us like, hey, do not fear. I am here. I am with you and I'm guiding your path. Hey, do not fear. Cast all your anxieties on me. Like God is, I feel like God is just constantly reaffirming us throughout scripture, because he's aware that this is what we struggle with in the human experience. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to practical things, definitely number one, like I said, it's important to get an assessment. I mean, you don't like anything, I think it's like, you want to know exactly what you're dealing with and like what the root is to target, because sometimes with anxiety, it is a biological symptom. It could be in the brain, or for example, having a hyperactive thyroid, hyperthyroidism. That is where your thyroid is over metabolizing and it's creating symptoms of anxiety. And really, there might need medication in that case for your thyroid to help get that into balance. So sometimes it is very physiological. I've had friends who had that issue, and once they treated their thyroid, it helped. So again, it's not everybody, but you want to speak to someone who can help assess for these things and rule out things that maybe there might be just a fix for that or a management for that, that you're just not aware of. Some other things to take into consideration is nutrition, right? I think we talked about, you're like, I'm not drinking coffee. And I was like, there are valid reasons for that. Like, seriously, having too much sugar in your diet, having caffeine in your diet, these are stimulants, right? Like these are things that actually can, if your body just doesn't digest it well, or your body responds to it hyperactively to, you know, a spike in glucose, that might be the case. It might be that there's a change in diet. Maybe there's less coffee, less sugar, things like that, that can help you regulate very practically. Also fitness, exercise. Now I'm talking more like holistic stuff, right? Mm-hmm. The great thing about, I think, exercise, especially when I was in the midst of my anxiety, I was actually running a lot, which I ran too much because I also wasn't eating, and that played a role in my weight loss. So, yeah, but I was running a lot. And when you're running, when you're getting your adrenaline up and your heart pumping, you're actually feeling similar symptoms of anxiety, and you're learning how to push through those physical feelings and separate yourself from those physical feelings and say, okay, even though I have these feelings, you know, it doesn't mean I'm necessarily in danger, or I'm necessarily in trouble, or I necessarily have to catastrophize just because I'm having these physical feelings. You know, when you are, you know, exercising, you're also feeling the same physical feelings, but it's like in a different reframe. Like, you know, this is my body preparing. This is my body, you know, amping up and all the endorphins. So exercising, I think, is a great way to also help with kind of symptom management, to go, okay, I can have these physical feelings and I will be okay and I will survive it. Is another great one. Journaling, like you said, journaling through those thoughts are huge. Scripture, right? Like just regrounding yourself in scripture, even if you can have, you know, affirmations of scripture by your bedside or on your bathroom mirror, something that you can just rehearse to yourself to get your mindset in the right place, to be in a more grounded place. Meditation. I know like the Abide app has Christian, they have all these Christian and biblical meditations to set your mind on now that are phenomenal. Like take advantage of that. And for me, when I have anxiety at night, I actually like to listen to a reading of the Psalms. It's very grounding for me. I turn on the Bible app, I turn on the audio, and I just kind of fall asleep to listening to the reading of the Psalms. I think it's because my dad would, aging myself, putting audio cassette tapes of people reading scripture in a little boom box, and he would play it every night. So I'm like, I think that's a grounding association in my head since I was a kid. But I think that could be helpful. Something like listening to scripture readings, reminding yourself of who God is in the big scheme of things, because anxiety leads us to focus on ourselves and on the small things, and scripture and worship music, all of that helps us, you know, step back into the bigger picture of who God is and who he is in our lives. And we just need that reminder and that shift in our spirit. So yeah, scripture, worship, reaching out to your safe people, praying together. I always talk about mental health is a toolbox, and we have all these different tools that we use, and they're all useful and gifted to us by God to be able to use for our healing and health. So use all of them, you know?
No, I am so glad that you shared basically spiritually, physically, and emotionally, like all the health, because that really to me is important. And I used to only focus on food and working out. I thought if I just, you know, killed it in the gym and kind of didn't eat a lot of food, then I'm going to be healthy because I look healthy. Right. And then of course I had a physical breakdown in my body, which was then almost allowed me to address the emotional and the spiritual side. And I just, they all go together so beautifully. You know, you can't pray yourself out of, you know, a bad eating, you know, like meaning you can't pray for something and then not be obedient to also go in the direction of your prayer. And so I just love this conversation, and I know it's going to just encourage so many women, but what do you want to leave them with? Is there any like nugget, or what comes to your heart when you're just like, oh, just keep going?
Yeah. I mean, I would say like one, like anxiety is not a sign that you are failing morally or personally, or you're lacking faith as a Christian, or you're sinning, right? Or there's some unnoticed sin, or, you know, it's not automatically something to shame yourself about. Again, like it is common. It's the number one mental health condition in the world. So it's very common. However, there are ways to kind of get unstuck, to manage or see your way through. And so I just wanted to give hope, because life can look and feel very different. Just coming out of my own experience, feeling extremely stuck and feeling like my life was always going to feel this way. It doesn't have to. And just continuing every day to surrender those worries to God, taking it one step at a time. A lot of times when we're overwhelmed, we're magnified, we're in a magnified position, we're looking at everything from the bigger picture, when really when you're overwhelmed, this is a time to start looking smaller picture. This is actually the time to focus on smaller steps. And what happens is, you know, we were talking about all these different holistic ways to address it. You know, as you do one thing, it kind of alleviates you to focus on another area, maybe the eating. And then maybe that alleviates you to focus on maybe the exercise part, which alleviates you to focus on maybe the therapy part. And so I just encourage to just start somewhere, learn a little bit more about anxiety. Education, I think, helps reduce a lot of shame to where you're not, oh my gosh, something just wrong with me. Like, no, this is what's happening. And it's a normal response to a fear reaction, to a trigger. It is your body. It is not just you. So just want to give that encouragement. And gosh, you're not alone. It definitely runs more commonly in women. And maybe that's a whole other conversation as like why. I know it ran through all the women in my family. And then I found out as an adult, I'm like, so nobody wanted to tell me that we all just got anxiety running through the women in our family. Gonna crash and burn and learn that way. Okay. We're glad we're having more conversations about it, right? Mm-hmm. Especially as women, because it's a thing.
Yeah. And I think you really hit it on the head though, of just knowing that you don't have to live like this for the rest of your life. Meaning you can begin to apply and learn and understand and heal to, so that you can become to cut, like get on the other side of this and know your identity in Christ. And like you said, what he says about fear, this reminder, the goodness and kindness of what he has to offer and has given us through Jesus. And when you said start somewhere, instantly in my mind, I wanted to say, but not everywhere. I think sometimes we're like, oh, that sounds great. I'm going to start somewhere. And that somewhere turns into, I'm going to do it all, right? Like we're going to go everywhere. I'm going to get my eating plan. I'm going to start seeing, you know, somebody or going to church or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to start working out, you know? And then what happens is we get so overwhelmed by the overwhelm because we try to do everything at once. And so
that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't want to be anxious about your process to becoming unanxious. Like one thing, one day at a time, yes. Start maybe calling with the calling of the therapist, start with the workout, start just one thing at a time, and we'll get there. And yeah, I love what you said. Like life doesn't have to be this way. I will say very honestly, like there will be times where you'll still get triggered. Like the feelings will still come back. They still do for me sometimes, or it's like, whoa, that thing had more of a association in my brain than I thought. And then I have to work through it. But the important part is that you have the tools and support to work through it so that you can get through it basically maybe better than you had in the past. And I think that's true growth and healing, when you realize that you don't respond to situations the same way that you used to. That in itself is progress.
So good. Well, where can they go to find you, or where do you want them to find you and learn more about you?
Yeah, so I'm on all the things. I think the central place is brittanymoses.com. That's the blog. It houses everything. But I'm on Instagram.
She does right now, great reels, by the way.
I was going to say, right now, I'm doing all these little reels. I think it's a fun, like, accessible way to have the conversation, especially for our generation. So I'm like, hey, why not? Make it fun, make it accessible. So I'm doing all these reels on Instagram. But I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and I also have the Faith and Mental Wellness podcast, which Jessica will be joining me on as well. And that's where we have conversations just like this at the intersection of faith, mental health, and wellness with both mental health professionals and those with lived experiences. So we're getting kind of both sides of the conversation. So there's just so many resources in those conversations, which are great.
Well, we are going to have all the links below, so don't you worry. But I just want to say thank you again just for sharing and your wisdom and being vulnerable to share your story as well.
Thanks for having me.